Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Robin Roberts, and the Michael K. Show starts right now. Take it away, Michael, Don, and Peter.
Thank you, Robin, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Monday. It's February 6th. It's 2023. A lot of stuff going on. Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg with you until 7 o'clock, so we got to get to it. We got to get to it right away. The weather has returned back to somewhat spring-like, which is really odd, considering how cold it was on Saturday. But sports is hot. This is the week before the Super Bowl, so we'll be breaking it down for the people as we move along. Hope you guys had a good weekend. Don's at the Garden for the Ranger game tonight. Peter is in sights unknown, but hope everybody's well.
Very good. Very nice day.
Oh, beautiful. Sure.
Deeper into February, closer to the game. I got to say, with all the other stuff going on, I'm not sick of the game. Usually by the time we get to week two before the Super Bowl, it's like, let's kick off already. But
Quite
frankly, I'm ready to start talking about it because there's been other things.
Well, and there's other things today, too. So it's interesting. Like, we're not going to be completely overpowered by Super Bowl, it seems like, till the last few days. I'm with Don. I'm kind of excited for this game. It's hard for me to remember. No, it's not. There have been great matchups recently, but this is an incredible matchup.
And we'll be all over it. We've got great guests all week, but we do start today with the Kyrie Irving saga, which obviously has, at least his portion of it, has come to an end. So this is the Nets report brought to you by Jack Pocket. So they did it. They traded him. They traded him to the Dallas Mavericks. They traded him for draft picks that Sean Marks might not be around as the Nets GM to actually execute those picks, or he might trade them. But 2029 is the first round pick and a couple of second round picks as well in those years. So there we have it. They got Dorian Finney-Smith. It was a good stretch, stretch three. Stretch four, that sort of three and D sort of guy. And they have Spencer Dinwiddie, who will slide into the spot vacated by Kyrie Irving. And Kyrie Irving goes to the Mavericks. And the Mavericks have said, let's table contract talks till the end of the year, which is something that could have been done with the Nets. Now, when you read about all the ramifications of Kyrie not being traded, which is what I was for, to not trade and make him play, I'm hearing from a lot of people that he was very, very, very determined and willing to sit out the entire rest of the season and take his chance as a free agent. Now, if he was going to leave as a free agent no matter what, even if he did play, the Nets would not have been able to replace him because they're so far over the cap that his number would just come off and they wouldn't be able to replace him. So what they've done is they got the number of Dinwiddie, who makes about $20, $21 million a year, and Finney-Smith as well. I think he makes about $11 or $12 million a year, and that money could be moved and replaced. But if you're over the cap and the money that you spend on the player, and in Kyrie's case, I think it's $36 million, if that goes away, and it goes away forever, you can't replace the player. So I understand why they did it. And Don and Peter, you know me very, very well. Part of me is kind of like smiling. Joe Tsai, the owner of the Nets, from what I've heard, told Sean Marks, trade him, do not trade him where he wants to go, which is the Lakers. And that I like.
Right.
Because that's a form of vindictiveness. And I wouldn't go out of my way to help Kyrie Irving, because what he's done is he has systematically, brutally destroyed this franchise, what it's about, their culture, the whole deal. Why should you send him where he wants to go? And they didn't do it, and I give them credit for that.
Yeah, you'd like to be vindictive, and it worked out. You were able to trade him to where, I wouldn't say he didn't want to go, but not the place, his destination, L.A., get a chance to play with the Lakers, which he wanted to do. But you got to do what's best for your franchise. And when you start to get the feeling that he wasn't going to play, which is so gutless on his part, really. You talk about, like, it's about the money with him, But you really think that he was going to get big time money if he sat out the entire year? You don't think there's going to be codicils on any contract that teams can get out from under if he ends up being a head case for them? Did he really believe that he was going to be able to get the maximum out of a contract, giving all the trouble he gave to Brooklyn, and then if it ending with a holdout for the rest of the season and sacrificing a chance to possibly compete for a championship? He's delusional.
But the interesting thing, though, Don, is that when you read how many teams were lining up to get him, well, I guess I've always said it, and it's become a laughable cliche amongst the three of us, talent is a great deodorant. So I think they look at what he could – that's always been the case with him. Because his talent is so transcendent, that's why Danny Ainge is one of the smartest basketball people in the world. He wanted him with the Celtics, and he tried to destroy the Celtics, but he couldn't do it.
But we got to stop with the whole transcendent talent. Anthony did the math. He played in 55% of the Nets games.
Right, but when he plays, he's great.
But he's only playing in half your games. How is that helping you? And it would have been less than 50%, Peter, had he gotten his – if he didn't get traded and sat out the rest of the season, we'd be talking about a player that while he was here, for the three-plus years he was here, played in less than 50% of the games. Do you know how talented you have to be able to make up for more than half of the times you don't play?
See, but the Nets had him in the perfect situation, I thought, this year. One-year deal. Prove yourself, and then you'll get paid.
Yeah.
And now the Mavericks probably have him the best-case scenario, too, because he does realize he's got to play every single game. Every game. Now, if he gets hurt, he gets hurt. Everybody gets hurt. But if he's healthy, he's got to play every single game, play well, and maybe drive the Mavericks to the Western Conference Finals. It's going to be really interesting, guys. And, Peter, I'm sure you thought about this as well. I don't know how Luka and Kyrie mesh. Luka is a ball-dominant guy. Kyrie Irving is a ball-dominant point guard. Now, he knows how to play with star players and share the spotlight. He played with LeBron. He played with Durant. He knows how to defer. But he also usually has the ball in his hand and gets the ball to those guys. This is a case where Luka always has the ball in his hand. He brings the ball up.
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting. And removing Dorian Finney-Smith, who's one of their best defenders from that team, it's going to be interesting to see how that meshes. Now, they have Jason Kidd, who certainly knew how to defer. And when he went to Dallas, he deferred to Dirk Nowitzki. But is Kyrie of that mindset? I don't know.
Kyrie is many things. A Jason Kidd, he is not. One of the great assist men of all time. That's what I thought about the whole time. I just thought, how does Dallas make sense? And it actually gave me even more respect for what Sean Marks pulled off here. Because while a lot of people could say this is a light load considering Kyrie's talent, to the point Don was making earlier, you're not getting his talent. You're getting his talent plus whatever mishigas comes with it, whatever nonsense comes along. Now you're going to add him to Dallas, where you have one of the best players in the league, but unlike Kevin Durant, is a player who requires the ball in his hand a lot. So I just don't see. Oh, and then let me add one more thing. Guys, he struggled in New York, and I understand New York is a bigger media hub than Dallas. But, A, Dallas is a huge sports media hub. And I don't think I'm pointing out anything crazy and saying, in terms of like-mindedness, Kyrie's going to do a lot better with the population of New York than he's going to do in Dallas. That thing has implosion again written all over it. I'm sorry. There was one scenario that made sense that I could see working out. I think we all agree, right? L.A. could have worked. Because if he goes to L.A., and he plays under LeBron and sort of bends the knee to some extent and is like, hey, I'm here to be whatever you need me to be. You're the greatest of all time. I could see how that worked. I don't know, guys. Luka and Kyrie, I don't know that either has the true alpha dog mentality to take over that team. It's a messy predicament.
And also, I don't know how close they are to even getting out of the West. I mean, right now, they're a 6 seed, 9 off the pace for the top in the conference. They could very easily finish as a play-in. You know, so is this a path to a championship for them? I understand the West is wide open, but for what could end up being a rental, we'll see. You're not going to talk contract with them until the end of the season, Michael. I mean, this isn't even going to work for Dallas. They could be just one and done, too.
But
well,
if,
a better chance to go deeper with Brooklyn.
If, though, I will say this. If somehow a miracle happens and Kyrie decides he wants to prove the world wrong, and he wants to adapt, and really allow Luka to be Luka and facilitate and do all the things he's absolutely capable of, Don, they will absolutely improve, I think, from being a six seed. I just don't think that any of us believe that right now he has that in his DNA, because for the last few years, he hasn't shown any ability to do that.
But you would assume that he's rational, right? So rational thought would lead you to believe he has to play great, and he has to play all the time just to delude Dallas into giving him a max contract. He's looking for 4 years, $200 million. That's what he wanted from the Nets, and the Nets put some guardrails there. Well, you've got to play, and one thing that supposedly really ruffled his feathers, they were going to guarantee a certain amount of money if they won a championship this year. He didn't want any part of that. So we'll see. And there is an advantage for Kyrie, though, guys, which we haven't even thought about. Now he's close to where the situation is where he could really delve in to the Kennedy assassination and all the conspiracy theories. So I think he'll be able to opine on that really soon.
That's his first stop. Grassy Knoll's his first stop. Book depository is you have, by the way, great museum. You got to go.
Can I join?
Sure.
There's a lot of fun to investigate, a lot of wormholes to dive into if he wants to in that area. But Michael, I'm kind of curious when you say you assume he's rational. Well, how do you make that assumption?
Exactly.
Where's the evidence that he's rational?
That was the craziest thing you've said in years. How could you assume that he's rational?
Because I thought the same thing going into this year. Well, of course he's going to mind his P's and Q's. He's in the last year of his contract. He's got a team that's got a chance to contend, and he put his head down, play great basketball, and get a monster deal, and he still couldn't help himself. So you assume he's going to go to Dallas and in these last few months help them compete so he get a monster contract. But Peter's right. What's the next thing on the horizon? What's the next thing around the corner that's going to get him off the deep end and not playing? Or what fight is he getting into? Or what cause he's going to try to climb into that's going to keep him off the court? So I don't know where there's any evidence that he's rational.
Now, it's interesting that LeBron kind of threw a little bit of a pity party on Twitter where he tweeted out, maybe it's me. And if LeBron was in front of me, I'd say, it's not you. It's him. It sounds like the old breakup line. They didn't send him to L.A. not because he didn't want to play with you. He desperately wanted to play with you. And that's why they didn't send him.
Right.
This guy is toxic, and he has hurt every place that he's been. Every place. And then one other thing, everybody. Everybody's waiting, hoping, searching for one player or ex-player to take this guy to task. And if you listen to this show, I've told you this over and over and over again. It's a tight-knit fraternity. Players will never, ever turn on a player, no matter how ridiculous the actions of said player are. That's it. That's it. It's always player over anybody else. So, bottom line, Jay Williams was on First Take today, defended Kyrie. When Kevin Durant finally speaks, he's going to defend Kyrie. You heard all the Nets when they spoke before their game the other night. They defended Kyrie. They never turn because the world is the worst. We're right. We're always right. So these players could look at this. And if anybody's looking for Kevin Durant to dump a bunch of criticism on Kyrie, it's not happening. That's not the way athletes are wired. You're always wrong. We're always right. We'll always defend us.
But that's true, but that usually comes from different places. Like in hockey, when you defend a teammate that clubs somebody on the other team, you're defending him blindly because he's your teammate. When you don't get involved in contract negotiations and say, hey, it's a business, I'm going to defend him because one day the shoe may be on the other foot and I might be looking for another contract or something. So you kind of stay out of it. So you defend it from a business standpoint. Where exactly are you coming from defending Kyrie? Just a bad teammate. He destroys franchises. So why would you even want him on your team? You think you're going to be the guy that's going to fix him?
LeBron couldn't
fix him. KD couldn't fix him.
KD did not rip him at all for the tweet that sent everybody to a movie with anti-Semitic tropes. He did not rip him at all about the vaccine, which I understand because the vaccine is a personal choice. But the anti-Semitic tropes movie, that was a perfect excuse for Kevin to rip him. Didn't, because publicly. Now, I don't know what Kevin did behind the scenes. I have no idea. But the bottom line is, nobody holds Kyrie to task. Nobody holds players to task. You can do the worst thing in the world, and a player is always going to defend a player. Well, an ex-player, for the most part, is always going to defend a player. For the most
part. You got to give me something. You got to give me something.
Like
if you want to defend them, fine. Well, you got to give me a reason to defend them.
I'll give you the reason.
Blindly
in this
defend
case,
him.
They'll say, you know what? The Nets just insulted him by that offer because they don't put 8-8 together and get 16. Because the Nets couldn't give him a 4-year deal because they'd be moronic if they did after all the stunts that he pulled. He wanted a guaranteed $195 million. The Nets should have been driven out of business if they did that. And if the Mavericks do it, as smart as Mark Cuban is, he's going to regret it as well. You've got to put codicils in the contract. If you don't play, you don't get paid. That's the only way it can be. If you're going to guarantee him $200 million over 4 years, he's going to take advantage of you. And the Nets had him in the best possible position this year, and it still blew up in their face. The guy, he doesn't have a governor. He doesn't have any guardrails put on him, and players don't hold him to account. They don't.
I guess they want to play with him. They think they can be the one to fix him.
No, because he's a player, Don. I've told you, if I got my head beaten in by a player with a bat and all the other players watch, they would tell people, you know what, that was an accident.
But by the way, that's not just with players. That seems to be a common theme with large groups of employees of everything. Thank you, Chris.
But I'm saying,
generally speaking, you put groups together in a union. Right. Very often, they just protect their own. And that's what we're seeing here, too. But it goes beyond the players, Don. I said it the other day. He somehow has engendered this level of sympathy from a lot of people. I mean, even today on First Take, Jay Will's defending him. People who know he's done nothing that really gives you room to defend him still defend him. He's really martyred himself in that way.
Well, again, I get the fans. Because I brought this up last week. The fans just appreciate his play because they don't have any allegiance to a team. They just want to follow him, and he is captivating to watch. So from that standpoint, let him play. I want to be entertained. But what general manager, what coach, and even what player would want him on their team? That's what just drives me crazy. Dallas is all in because now they might have a chance to climb out of it. What's going to happen a month from now when he's not playing?
Are we going to be surprised? Everybody thinks they can do it.
Well, one quitter after another. Let's not forget how he wormed his way out of Brooklyn to get to Dallas.
And wormed his way, by the way, out of the Knicks where he played well to get the net job and then tried to power move to get more of a position of power and then went to – you're right. Maybe he thinks, well, I've played this game before. I know how to control it.
So maybe it's just a case of let's play with the bomb and just hope it blows up. We'll play musical chairs here, and hopefully when the music stops, I've got one.
Maybe they'll bring in MacGruber.
So maybe the case is that at some point you will have a championship, and they're hoping that it's going to be on their team. They know it's going to end poorly. They know the bomb is going to go off. It just hopefully in the meantime we'll get a championship out of it. And I guess that's what I'm sure Dallas doesn't have any idea whether he's going to come back or not. Just hope that maybe they can squeeze out in a wide open Western Conference or run, and they have to hang their hat on something. But looking at the evidence, I know he won a championship at Cleveland. How did it end? How did it end in Boston without a championship? How did it end in Brooklyn without a championship? And do you think they're going to win a championship in Dallas if you had to bet? Here's the bet, Michael. Is the bet they're going to win a championship, or is it going to be another controversy and just going to blow up in Cuban's face? Where would you put your money?
Controversy blow up in his face.
Right. So.
But maybe they can. I mean, the Nets with this whole mishigas that they put together, and you couldn't turn down Durant and you couldn't turn down Irving. You couldn't turn down that combination. I understand why they did it. Now, I don't understand why they did the Harden thing, and that blew up in their face and continues to hurt them. But they almost did have a chance at a championship. If Kevin Durant's foot is an inch shorter, they beat the Bucks, and maybe they go to the finals that year. And then all of this stuff is palatable if you got a championship out of it. They got one playoff victory out of it, one playoff series victory.
You realize how different history is, though? Because remember, guys, Milwaukee goes on to beat up on Atlanta in that conference final. If that foot is behind the line, they beat Milwaukee, which alone would have been a huge accomplishment. Wouldn't you both agree they go on and beat Atlanta?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then we're talking about them playing for a final, and the whole history is completely different.
And I did that. Jason Kidd quit on the Nets as a player to force a trade to Dallas. And then he quit on the Nets and tried to power play over Billy King so that he could get more money, and the Nets got, you know, essentially got rid of him. Now, we did find one player that has taken issue with Kyrie, and it's a guy that you expect, one ex-player, Charles Barkley. And this is what he said on Mad Dog Radio: I'm not a Kyrie guy. I mean, at some point, you've got to look yourself in the mirror and say, if everybody's always talking bad about me, maybe I deserve some blame. He just put out that cryptic tweet, though: just keep people around you. I don't like people who say, keep people around you who support you and be your friend no matter what. That sounds good, but your friends just can't tell you you're right all the time either. You've got to surround yourself with people who are going to be honest with you. Kyrie never thinks anything is his fault, and everybody's out to get him. From a basketball standpoint, it's going to be interesting with the Mavs. I don't see how him and Luka can share the ball. I think that's going to be fascinating. Luka's a hell of a player. Kyrie's a terrific player also, but they both need the ball to be successful. Neither one of them are great defensively, so I think it's going to be interesting. But, man, I'm just sick of the whole Kyrie saga, to be honest with you.
I mean, that's pretty good summary of how most people feel, feel like.
It's just a fact. And all I keep circling back to, you can support him. Again, this is not a referendum on the kind of person that he is. It's just that, of course, you're going to try to put things in the contract to protect yourself when he's going to play 50% of his games. Listen, you can live with nozzle. You can live with all the things that happen in sports. But availability is the biggest key. So all the stuff that he has done has cost him to play nearly 45% of the games for the Nets. So you wouldn't want some protection? You don't think Dallas is going to want some protection? Even if they win the championship, in the next contract, they're not going to want some protection when he decides to go crazy and miss games again?
And, Don, if they don't get the protection, they deserve everything that comes to them.
So anybody that wants to support Kyrie, they want to spin it, well, the Nets should have given him whatever he wanted. Really? What organization is going to do that when you play 55% of the game? You would have an argument, guys, with all the things that Kyrie has done, with the vaccination, with the anti-Semitic tweet, all the different things that he has done. If he played in 100% of his games, you'd probably find a way to fight through it, right?
Yep.
But he doesn't.
How about
That's the
guys?
Biggest thing.
How about this? So the grand experiment of Kyrie and Kevin had nothing like what turned out with the Heat, where they got two championships out of it. And they had the right combination of guys, too. Kyrie and Kevin, 4 years together. 4 years. So you do the math. Now, there wasn't an 82-game season in the COVID year and then the year after that. But you know how many games they played together? Together. Do you know how many games they played together, those two guys?
Well, it can't be many.
74.
Yeah. That's not even a full season.
Not even a full season.
That's unbelievable.
Well, and all three
but
of them.
A lot of that
played.
Also was injury, too.
Well, the 1 year you lost with Durant, and then he was injured last year, then the vaccine, and then the suspension because of the tweet, and then when he couldn't play during all the unrest, the racial unrest around the country, a lot of things contributed to it, but 74 games for all that money.
And the big three played 16 together.
Amazing. And you know, we ripped Harden when he wanted out. Maybe he saw this guy for what he is. He's the one who saw this guy for what he... I don't want to be part of this nonsense. Get me out of here. Now, he didn't do it the right way. None of them ever do it the right way because they're megalomaniacal narcissists. That's what they are. They only care about them. But he saw the writing on the wall. This guy's not reliable. This is not what I signed up for. We're never going to be on the court together. So it turned out good for him. And bad for Kevin Durant. Now, we'll talk about exactly where the Nets go from here and what Durant does. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls. That's the Nets report brought to you by Jackpocket. Powerball is now $747 million, and Mega Millions is $31 million. Play official state lottery games on your phone with Jackpocket. Download the Jackpocket app and get your first ticket free using code ESPN. You must be 18 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem wants help, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. Visit jackpocket.com/TOS for full terms of service. Your phone calls are next. And what's next for the Nets? What's the wise thing for them to do? It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And they did sign Bo Horvat, and you just knew that Lou wasn't going to give up that package of players and draft picks without signing him. And he signed him, and good for them. And now they've got three really good centers, Don.
They do. Very good. And Horvat, like I said, 31 goals I mentioned last week. That's huge for them. They desperately need goal scoring. So 8 years, says he's really looking forward to spending maybe the rest of his career here on the island. So good job out of Lou. He still has it, man.
7:30 Rangers Flames. Don is there at the Garden. So 7 o'clock pregame show. 7:30 the puck drops. We have the Devils and the Canucks at 7:30. Nets and the Clippers at 7:30. They're going to have a special 1 hour pregame to dissect the Kyrie Irving mess. So that'll be a 6:30 pregame on Yes. 7:30 is the tip. So we'll be off on the Yes Network at 6:30 rather than seven.
Ray Rowe.
I know this is kind of inside, but yeah, I thought about this a lot watching the promos for the Nets on Yes, and just a heads up for the people in Dallas as they prepare. You're gonna have all these promos with Kyrie and highlights of Kyrie like during the course of the season. You're gonna also have to have a package without him.
Like we have a package without Peter.
Well, wait a minute. We do not.
Oh no no the commercial
Yes does
run on
they
Yes.
ran a, yeah, they yeah. run a commercial
oh, sure. Well that was intentional because they for whatever reason don't like Peter.
Thank you.
But seriously, like, right, think of all those promos that they didn't air, all the times that, you know, Kyrie was sitting out because of the vaccine or when he was suspended. So you got to be prepared for that. You got to have like alternate opens to the show because it wouldn't make any sense to have Kyrie in the open if he's not playing. So get ready for that, Dallas.
And that's Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, please enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please, please enjoy responsibly. Let's go to the phones. A lot of people want to talk. Let's go to Coop. We'll start with him. He's in the car. What's up, Coop?
Hey, good evening, guys.
What's up, Coop?
Ain't nothing, man. I'm so pissed off. I don't know what to do. I'm pissed off to the highest of pissivity because I really thought this man was going to come down here and that he was going to help us get a championship. I thought that he was going to come with KD, join KD, and make everything right. I didn't think that he was going to come down here and stab us in the back. You Caesar. Ever since Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce came down, we didn't have nobody. But with KD and Kyrie, we thought we had somebody in Brooklyn. I'm from Brooklyn. I'm a Brooklyn native. I love Brooklyn. I revoked his Brooklyn card, Kyrie.
Wow.
Something is wrong with him. What is he gonna do? He's gonna go down to Dallas and be down there with Luka and share the ball? No way. It's something more than that. Now I'm thinking, I don't understand. Did you sell us out for the love of money, or was it something with the organization that made you do this that you just couldn't say, no, you want to leave? I don't know what to think.
Oh, you know what you have to think? Whenever they say it's not about money, it's always about money. It was about money. I love it. Yeah. Passivity. I think that's a new one, right?
But he did cost himself millions of dollars, Michael.
Right.
Like
but
you
now
said,
this
it's about
move
the money.
This move is about the money.
True, but reports were he was willing to sit out. I would think that would cost him money if the Nets didn't trade him. Did he really think in his mind that he was going to get the most out of the next contract if he sat out?
Yeah, because the people
like
around him say, "Oh, Kyrie, you're great. You should get the most money." I mean, his stepmother is his agent. He doesn't have anybody around him that'll tell him he's wrong.
But the thing is, Michael, apparently what really upset him with the Nets' offer is that it had all these codicils in the contract to protect them. Don't you think other teams are going to do the same thing, even if they give him the money that he wants?
All you need is one dumb owner, Don.
Well, But again, what are you basing that on? Like where did
it sports history?
No, but
there's always one dumb owner.
Sports, but you're talking about a player that isn't available, and really, it all started with him exiting Cleveland. Right, that's where it really began. I mean, you guys know better than I do. I don't think there was really any negativity before the issues with LeBron in Cleveland. That's the last time it worked, right? That's the last time he won you a championship. Completely blew up in Boston, blew up in Brooklyn. We'll see what happens here in Dallas. But let's say it blows up again, or you know, he doesn't re-sign in Dallas. Where is the evidence that it's going to work? Where is it? He's not going to be on the court. He's going to cause you all kinds of problems, and at the end of the day, you're not winning the championship. So what are you basing all this on? Ticket sales?
He has one championship. He won a championship.
But since that championship, what has happened compared to what was happening before that championship?
You're preaching to the choir, but everybody thinks that they can straighten a guy out. Nobody should give a four-year deal. Nobody. Absolutely nobody. I don't think Cuban's going to do that. Cuban's trying to use him right now to get this done. To get this championship, and I don't think they will. They don't have enough defense. They don't have enough basketballs. Luka is a ball dominant player. So is Kyrie. So you can say, well, Kyrie worked with Kevin and worked with LeBron. Now LeBron has become a ball dominant player. I think out of necessity with the Lakers, and he had the ball a lot with Cleveland too. That's why Kyrie wanted out. Kyrie didn't want to be Robin. Let's go to Chet in Staten Island. Chet.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Chet.
This Kyrie thing, I just can't agree with anyone that says he's a great player. What has he shown? When has he shown it?
When he's on the court, he's a great player. He does things on the court that aren't done.
That's the question, Mike. When?
You're right.
When a great player shows up every day, availability, everybody's throwing that around. You throw that around. That makes a great player. Harden was the only one that had, you know what, to say, you know what, this isn't for me. I just hope he doesn't destroy Luka, because Luka's a young man. Mm-hmm. He's a young guy. I just hope it has no ill effects on him.
Well, you know what, Chet? If you look at the history, he doesn't destroy players. He destroys organizations. He didn't destroy LeBron.
Right.
He didn't destroy Tatum or Jaylen Brown. Didn't destroy him. And I don't think he's going to destroy Kevin Durant, so... He leaves behind a smoking trail for the team, but the players survive. They understand that he is who he is.
And maybe that's why they support him, Michael, because is it really that to that point in this league where it's just all about the individual and not about the team? That these are just vessels. You got to play on a team, but is it all just about your personal stats and your personal wealth and what you're able to do off the court because of your stardom? And that these teams really don't matter. They jump ship all the time anyway. There's no loyalty, right? So is that really what it's about? Like, oh, he's doing damage to these teams, but who cares? They're a bunch of billionaire owners. We don't care about them anyway. We're just going to jump from team to team because we need the team to play. But ultimately, it's just about ourselves. Is it at that level? Is that why the players support him? Because at the end of the day, the only people that are really hurt are the owners of these teams? Because I would argue, no. How about the fans of those teams? All right, forget about the owners. They'll get over it. But I worry about the fans. Those are the people that support you. That's the lifeblood of the league. How does a Net fan feel today? Nobody's crying for the owner of the Nets, Joe Tsai. You should be crying for those fans that are committed, that go back to the days of New Jersey. They want to see this team win their first championship. And those are the people that I feel bad for, and I wish the players would consider them as well.
Let's go to D in New Jersey. D.
Yo, what up, guys? Listen, let's talk some facts here. Mm-hmm. You guys keep talking about Kyrie never showed up. There's circumstances. Let's start with the bubble in that situation. One, he got in that series. Just so you know, that series against Milwaukee when KD foot was on the line, that would have tied the game if it would have been a three. It would not have won it. So they still would have had to win the game in overtime. But let's talk about Kyrie and the play. The bubble situation. He got injured the one series when he stepped in that series when he stepped on Giannis's ankle and twisted his ankle. Mm-hmm. The next season, the bubble happens. He was not the only player that did not want to play. Some players opted out. More players opted out other than him. But everyone wants to keep talking about him. when the new stupid New York City mandate that allowed players who were unvaccinated to come into the city and play, but the guys who lived there couldn't play, that was the most idiotic thing there was.
Maybe
he wanted
so.
To play.
We agree
Brooklyn
with that. We agree with that.
Brooklyn didn't want him to be a part-time player, so he would have played. So all this narrative about he never shows up, yeah, to some extent there were times where he should have played, didn't. But this just that he does not want to work, this narrative that Stephen A. Smith is pushing is ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't think – I hope you don't think on this show, I don't think any of us have said that he never wants to show up. But would you – you sound like someone who's seeing the positive in him. You would agree, though, he's still – if you were running a team, he would be a major risk to go after. You would agree, though, no?
No, I would not. And so, listen,
one
quick thing, though, D, before you answer, that three would have won the game. The two sent it to overtime. The two tied it.
All right. So they went to overtime and they lost in overtime. Is that what happened in that
game? Right. So, but if he had a 1 foot short foot, then they would have won the game.
Got it. All right. So thank you for correcting me. So when you ask, is he a risk? Every player is a risk. But when the guys on the he didn't choose to go to Boston. They sent him to Boston. He never wanted to be there.
Well, wait a minute, D. But then he spoke to a group of season ticket holders and go, I'm going to sign an extension. I want to be here. This is where I want to be. Mm-hmm. Lie. And then when he couldn't play D because of the social unrest in the country, every other player found it within themselves to play. He just walked away
Not
from his
team.
Not
every player.
Kevin Durant played. LeBron James played. I mean, most every player played. Why is Kyrie always the one who doesn't want to do something? Why?
He has that choice. They gave every player had an option.
Not during the social unrest. They didn't have an option.
No,
they're contractually guaranteed to play.
So this is the problem with you guys in terms of the way you look at things only from your lens. You don't come from the same background that Kyrie Irving comes from. So when you say the country is in social unrest, yes, some guys take it more serious than others.
But then LeBron James doesn't take it seriously?
LeBron James didn't take it seriously then.
That's not what I'm saying.
What are you saying?
Some guys don't believe that you should be playing sports in during those times.
All right,
tell me the other guys that felt like that, other than Kyrie. You keep saying he's not the only one. Tell me the other guys that felt like that I can't play during the social unrest. And I love when you're not talking through the lens of Kyrie Irving. How could I do that? I'm not Kyrie Irving. I can only talk from my lens.
Let me get one thing in here, D. I'm going to let you go. Let one more thing here. I hear what you're saying. And everyone does have a different lens. And I am not big on standing here and telling people how to live their life or that if they're deeply affected by something, they shouldn't take time off if that's what they need. What I'm trying to say to you, though, is while I can go for one of the things you're saying or maybe even two of the things you're saying, you can't give me that when you add it all up, there seems to be something consistent with Kyrie, that he's always that dude, whether it's the vaccine, the bubble, the social unrest, January 6th, we can go on and on. He's always the one who doesn't want to play. You have to give me a little bit.
There's some truth to what you're saying. But let's talk about this instant right here. This was a business decision. This wasn't about anything else. He gave the Brooklyn Nets, he said that at the end of the season, before the season started, he said, trade me or sign me to a new deal. They said, we're going to give you an option. They played, you know, chicken, and they said, well, you go out and you find someone, and we'll trade you or whatever, or you're going to opt in. He chose to opt in because it made business sense. And he said, guess what? I'm going to play my butt off, and when it comes time, because you guys have my bird rights, I want to negotiate a new contract. They sat at the table, and they didn't give him what he wanted. As a player, you have to do what's best for you, and he chose.
All right.
His teammates mean nothing to him, right? Kevin Durant, who he dragged to Brooklyn, means nothing to him. He could get his money at the end of the year if he became a free agent, but he wanted it now. It's all about him. D, listen, we've given you enough time. You're not convincing me. Bye. Yeah, I'm not sitting here and debating you about something that's undebatable, non-debatable.
But it just frustrating because he can go out there and be Mother Teresa. and decide I can't live in this world unless I'm feeding the homeless, or I'm going to go and go to Ukraine and defend all of the, he can go and talk about the most noble things in the world. If I'm signing him to a contract, I want to know, Kyrie, are you going to be able to play? That's it. Nobody's calling him a bad guy. Are you available to play? And to Peter's point, if it was one or two isolated incidents, and we didn't even bring up the tweet, then this year, this season, it was supposed to be about making his money, putting his head down and playing basketball. He still couldn't help himself. But to be able to tweet that stuff with the anti-Semitic movie, and then what did he do? Double down on it, get himself suspended. Does that make sense? So if it's one thing, if it's just the injuries, if it's just the bubble, if it's just the COVID vaccine, if it's just the unrest, if it's just January 6th, then maybe we can have a conversation. But why is he the one player that has all these things happen to him at once?
And if you're a golfer or you're a tennis player and you can't play because of what's happening around the world and you feel uncomfortable and you shouldn't be playing sports at that time, walk away. You only hurt yourself. When you are part of a team and you feel that you're above them, and you just say, I'm not playing. The rest of your team has to play. LeBron James played. Most everybody in basketball, but Kyrie could not handle it. Hey, listen, if he wanted to walk away and retire and take care of social issues, God bless him. That's a great thing to do. But you are a member of a team, and you're getting paid to be a member of a team. You just can't walk away on a whim. I'm sorry. That's his problem. He's only playing for Kyrie. He thinks the flat world only revolves around Kyrie. Come on. Stop defending him. Anybody that defends him, it's indefensible. We'll be back.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
And a little bit of football news you might not have heard. Tom Brady was on with Colin Cowherd on FS1 and said that he will not do broadcasting until the fall of 2024. So he's going to take a gap year like all students do after high school before they start college. And that's just going to lead to a year of speculation about poor Greg Olsen. So he gets to be on the number one team with Kevin Burkhardt at least another year. And then I guess Brady decides what he wants to do with his life. But imagine getting a 10-year, $375 million contract, and then deciding when you're going to work. That's how powerful Brady is.
Any world in which they keep Olsen in the booth?
Yeah, I was thinking about that today. Why not have three guys? But if you have Brady there, don't you want to highlight Brady?
But you don't know.
I don't know.
You don't know yet. That's the thing.
Like, yeah, he'll know.
I think you might be better off at least starting with the three-man booth and then see how it goes.
Yeah.
Listen, it takes an exceptionally talented play-by-play guy to manage a three-man booth.
I don't know anyone could do it.
Guy.
Yeah, you're talking to one. But I think Kevin Burkhardt could do it, and there have been great three-man booths, and you know, Monday Night Football was a three-man booth back in the day.
You know, because we didn't get a chance to talk about it. You know, Andrew Marchand reported that they had to have an intervention with Romo, you know, because it's hard to do that. You know, you throw all this money and all this opportunity at people that are inexperienced. And what do you expect is going to happen? Now, I'm not the biggest Tony Romo fan, guys, and he started out great, but then he obviously slipped because he's inexperienced. Why can't you just do it the right way like you used to do it? You start out on a D team, you graduate up, and then eventually you end up on the A team after you got some years of experience under your belt. Now, they're not going to do that with Brady. They've spent so much money on it, but would it be such a bad thing to have a three-man booth that way if he is Drew Brees? All right, you've got a little cover. You can protect him a little bit more than exposing him the way Brees was. He wasn't ready for it, and then they didn't just throw it away. If you want to have the $37 million well spent, at least give it a chance to succeed. I don't care how great a quarterback he is. Doesn't mean he can do TV. Doesn't mean he can be a commentator.
Well,
these guys are whack.
I don't think they're hiring him as a broadcaster.
Like guest
on as a personality. Let's go to Joe in Connecticut. Joe.
Morons.
Hey, guys, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, just on this Kyrie Irving thing, and I agree 100% with Barkley and your take on this. You know, Kyrie, I guess, got to pump the brakes a bit on that caller D. When you were talking about Kyrie sitting out during the civil unrest area, and he mentioned or he pushed back saying, hey, Mike, you can't appreciate the guy's background. Kyrie Irving grew up very well off. His father was a professional basketball player. He was born in Australia, lived in nice suburbs in New Jersey and went to private schools. He's not, you know, some poor kid from the ghetto. He's, he's a spoiled brat, and that's how he's behaving. He's not some, you know, it's not just.
Yeah, but the caller's point, was more racial. It was about us not, you know, and which is reasonable. Yeah. You cannot say that white people can appreciate the civil unrest of 2020 in the same from the same lens as black people in America, regardless of how well Kyrie Irving was raised financially. That doesn't change.
That is true. That is absolutely 100% true. But he was the only NBA player.
No, that's the argument.
He's the only woke NBA player. LeBron James is as political as any athlete there is on the face of the earth. He played. Am I wrong?
But I don't know that I like that argument. Like, I hear us making it. I don't like making this argument because the argument to me is not about that. The argument really is, let's be honest, guys. The argument really is we don't believe him because there's too many of these things. Honestly, if the only thing Kyrie Irving had missed time for was the civil unrest of 2020, no one would be talking about it. They would be like, oh, man, he was really affected by that. We all know that he donates a ton of money to charity, which he does. We all know that he has a ton of interest and care. Well, he does. But it's the fact that so many other things have happened that make us get into a question about all of it.
And also, nobody, at least we're not on this show, saying that he's a bad guy. It's just a case of if I'm going to give him millions of dollars guaranteed, I'm going to want something in return because he has a tendency not to play. So whatever the reason is, Peter, there have been great players and good people that get are injury prone. You don't think it affects their contract that they're injury prone? Of course, it does.
That's where D completely lost me because as a caller, you know, the fact of the matter is you cannot convince me. And we're going to talk to Jay Will later, who is a bit of a Kyrie defender. That's great. You can defend him and say you think he gets a bad rap. You're telling me if you were an owner of a basketball team, you'd go, that's the guy. I really think I'm going to put my championship hopes on that guy's back. If you could tell me that with a straight face and convince me of it, please try. That's the only thing we're saying, or at least that I'm saying. I just can't imagine doing it. I wish the guy the best, man. Good luck. I don't think he's done anything horrible or harmful to anyone. There are a lot of people who get opportunities who are actual legit bad guys. He's just not the guy I'd want to base my team around.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.